1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's where I want to begin tonight, and I'm in a series on the Holy Spirit, and we've come to probably the most controversial place in that teaching, and that's on the subject of speaking with other tongues. Unfortunately, it's kind of sad how this is a controversial subject and issue, and a lot of different levels of emotion are experienced as soon as you bring the topic up of speaking with other tongues. And again, that's unfortunate, something that's in the Bible like that, and God had so much to say about. We should be able to talk about it. We should be able to share and minister in this area without that sense of tension. So I just pray that you're okay and comfortable with what we're talking about. And please keep in mind, there are people at all different kinds of levels in understanding, in pursuit of the things of God, in receptivity. You know, for a lot of people, it takes hours just to answer questions and things they've heard. Misconstrued ideas, if you will, about tongues. We've heard so many different people and so many different things. Many times people have to get those things resolved before they can move on this subject and in this subject. Well, at this time, I'm not as interested in hitting all the controversy and what about this and what about that. If we need to do that, I can come back here shortly after I finish this series and we'll tackle anything people are struggling with and questions that they have. But there's another category of people that is on the increase. There's a generation out there, believe it or not, that doesn't have the hang-ups that many of us have had and come out of some of the groups and bondage we've all come out of. And they just want to know the truth. Just give me the bottom line. And they don't wrestle with things like many of us have had to wrestle with things. And so I'm going to cut to the chase tonight, and I'm going to talk about the purpose of tongues. Why speak in tongues? Because God hadn't ever done anything without a purpose. And that was one of the questions I had is, what's the purpose in speaking with other tongues? Why, if it is for today, or if it isn't for today, but we know the first century church prayed in tongues and spoke in tongues, what was God's purpose? Why did this gift and manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit operate even in the first century church? I had some legitimate, not questioning, but asking legitimate questions and couldn't get answers on, well, why speak in tongues? What's the purpose? I'm not going to do anything just because somebody else is doing it. And I'm not going to operate in something because somebody else is operating in it. I want to know what I believe and why I believe what I believe and how it works in my life. And so I had to dig these things primarily out for myself. And so I'm going to share just in simplicity tonight, what's the purpose of tongues? Why speak in other tongues? Why was this manifestation, and we're in a series and you can get those tapes that I just recently done on manifestations. Why was this consistent manifestation operated in the early church? And what was the purpose of it? All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul's speaking here and he says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom or man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul basically said, I came to you in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit so that your faith wouldn't be established in men and men's wisdom and men's philosophies and men's ideology, but that your faith would be established in the power of God, in the things of God. Verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has entered or have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ twofold. We have the mind of Christ in the sense of we have the Spirit of Christ in our spirit. That's the mind of Christ. These people didn't have a Bible when this was written to them, and Paul said they had the mind of Christ. What was it? It was the Spirit of Christ on the inside of them, Christ in them, the hope of glory. We have the mind of Christ in the form of the Spirit in us, but we also have the mind of Christ right here. This is spiritual, and speaking in other tongues is not natural. It's supernatural. It's spiritual, and it is foolishness to the carnal mind and cannot be understood by the carnal mind. All the things of God are foolishness to the world and a carnal believer, or a believer who's not been renewed with the mind of Christ and by the mind of Christ. And so it doesn't come as any surprise to me that when the subject of tongues is brought up, people mock, they make fun, some begin to persecute you or afflict you over the issue, but most, especially in the world and even carnal Christians who really do not know what the Bible truly has to say, think it's foolishness. It doesn't make sense. It sounds dumb. It sounds like baby talk. It's silly. It's foolish. That gets me excited that carnal minds think that, because God said they would. Then they compare carnal things. They look to carnal things to explain something spiritual. Let me give you some illustrations. Tithing. Tithing is a Bible principle. Tithing is a very spiritual thing. And to the world, you are an idiot. Whether you know they think this or not, I'm here to tell you they do. If you tithe, you are a fool. That is foolish. That preacher's just trying to get your money. You shouldn't do that. That doesn't make sense. That's not right. It's foolishness to the natural man. But see, if you want to find the truth out about tithing, you can't go to man and carnal men. You can't go to natural things to compare with something spiritual to get truth. You have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So where do we find the truth out about tithing? From what man says? From so-and-so's opinion? From people's experiences? Your experiences can be very carnal and not reflect accurately truth. Well, this has been my experience. So that's not an accurate reflection of truth. Is your experience in my experience? God's word is spiritual, amen? And if I'm going to compare something spiritual, tithing, and get truth, I'm going to have to go to something spiritual, and that's the word of God. So I have to renew my mind to what God's word, something spiritual, says about a spiritual act, tithing, if I'm going to get truth. Now, there was a point I thought it was foolish too. Why? My mind was unrenewed. And so I was comparing carnal things with something spiritual, my unrenewed mind, with tithing. Tithing is spiritual. Can I get a witness on that? Well, I can't compare my carnal thoughts, your carnal thoughts, your experience, his experience, with something spiritual. I got to go to the Word of God to find the truth out about tithing and then by faith operating it properly. Casting out a devil is not natural. It's supernatural. And it's foolishness to the carnal man. It's foolishness to the carnal mind. But it's very powerful. It's very spiritual. Yes, there's abuses. Yes, there's things that get out of order. And I'm going to deal with some of that tonight as well. But you cannot understand casting out a devil by carnal means. It is supernatural. You have to have something spiritual to understand something spiritual and compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So you have to go to the Word of God that is spirit and that is spiritual. Jesus said His words, they were spirit and they were life. The flesh profits you nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. My words are spirit and they're life. This is spirit. Casting out a devil is spiritual. So the only way I can understand casting out devils is to go to the Word of God and see what God said about demonic problems and casting out devils. Not what groups say, not what mama said, not what... Do I need to keep going and offend everybody? Or are you getting it? I can go on and go on and go on with even something as simple as the new birth. Do you realize the new birth is supernatural? It's spiritual. But to the carnal, unrenewed mind, The new birth does not make sense. And the world mocks people talking about being born again. But see, does their mocking and their opinion of that being foolish, does that change the reality of the new birth? Absolutely not. Does it change my experience of being born again, born from above, born of the Word of God, born of the Spirit of God? Absolutely not. They can mock and think I'm an idiot all they want. They can make fun of me, they can persecute me, and they can try to judge being born again by carnal things, natural things, and they'll never come to a proper conclusion. But if they'd read the Bible, something that is spiritual, and compare spiritual things with a spiritual event, the new birth, they get born again like you're born again. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Speaking in tongues is no different. The only way we'll understand what the purpose is and what happens when a person speaks in other tongues is to go to the Word of God and let it speak for itself. Amen. Amen. Can I get a weak witness?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I had to for myself. I'd go to this person and say, what is this thing about tongues? I'd get this answer. Go to another person, get another answer. Go to another person, get another answer. I mean, I felt like a termite in a yo-yo. I was spinning around and so confused, trying to figure this out and get help from people and their opinions. Your opinion and my opinion is carnal. God's opinion is spiritual. And if I'm going to judge something and get truth, I have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So let's go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 14, and I'm going to give you eight facts that the Bible teaches, eight things that happen when a person speaks in other tongues, right out of the Word of God. And even if you don't speak with tongues, or in some cases won't speak with tongues, you have to admit the people in our Bible did speak with tongues. So humor me just a little bit, and let's go through this exercise. What was happening to them then when they spoke with tongues? It would help us to know at least what happened in them. Because we know they spoke with tongues. And there must have been a purpose. And that's a strange thing too, that God would go to all the expense to write this book and to get us all this information if there was a timeline that by the time we got the Bible, we wouldn't need it anyway. It's not for today. God just wasn't real sharp in writing all this stuff down and getting it to us if there wasn't some need for it, saints. And I'm sorry that I just love the Word of God. I think God's sharp. I think He knows what we have need of more than we know what we have need of. And if God Almighty said, stand on your head and you'll prosper, you'd see my feet as much as you would my head. And I don't care if you call me a fool or not, or mock me or made fun of me, I'd prosper because God said it. And something else you have to believe about me is if the Word of God says it and it is a truth, it'll have a thread all through the Word of God like I've taught you. And I would believe it no matter what my carnal mind warred against it. I would know that Romans chapter 8 says the carnal mind is an enmity against God. It's not subject to God, neither indeed can be. That's the Word of God about your carnal, unrenewed mind. It is a sure sign that something's of God when it crosses your natural carnal thinking. That's when you better grow up and you better learn, why am I upset about this? Why do I disagree with that? You know, I get entertained at people all the time and say, well, I just disagree with that. Well, that's okay, but just because you disagree with something doesn't mean you're right. I disagree with a lot of stuff that goes on. But I can't assume in my disagreeing, I'm always right and they're wrong. I'm disagreeing, that's true, but I might be wrong in my disagreeing. That's called something some of you have never seen. It's called humility. If you've been in church all your life, you've never seen that. And so you need to understand that. That we have to cast our thoughts down and we have to bring every thought subject and captive to the Word of God. And if the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd preach it. And it wouldn't matter if everybody rejected me. If God said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have a whale swallowing ministry and series on how Jonah spit the whale out in the ocean. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 because this thing ends with something a good friend of mine, we disagreed years ago, and he said something to me, and I said, brother, the Bible forbids that. And he said, "What? That the Bible doesn't forbid that." I said, "Brother, the Bible forbids you to forbid people from speaking in other tongues. That's in the Bible, to forbid not the speaking of other tongues." This guy was a degreed seminary graduate. And I said, "The Bible says to forbid not speaking with other tongues." And he said, "That's not in there." I had to take this guy and show him in the Bible. How can you go to seminary and graduate from seminary and not know what the Word of God says in simplicity? Then when I say this is what it says, you think I'm lying. So let's just read this because it shocked him. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I love let's look at verse 37 since I talked about humility. 1 Corinthians 14, 37. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." The commandments of who?
The Lord.
The commandments of the Lord. Paul says, "Whatever I have written are God's commandments to you." Now, sometimes Paul, and I love the guy for it, he would say, "I speak this by permission. I think I'm right. I believe I have a Bible base. But I'm telling you, I'm speaking this by permission. This is my opinion. But I believe my opinion is right, says Paul. I believe it's godly and I believe it's rooted in God. But I'm speaking it by permission." Other times he would say, "This is not my opinion. I'm not speaking it by permission. This is the commandment of the Lord." What he wrote down are the commandments of the Lord for us. Amen? Now let's see what those commandments are. Verse 38 says, "But if any man be ignorant," I love it, "let him be ignorant." That's a commandment of the Lord to me. Because I'm telling you, some people are ignorant. And let them be ignorant. In other words, let's don't fuss and fight. I'm not trying to cram anything down anybody's throat. I'm not contentious about this. I don't have an axe to grind. If you don't want to hear this about the Bible, I'm not going to force it on you. If you don't understand this and you're not comfortable with that, I'm not going to be mean-spirited to you or pushy or condemning. If a man is ignorant, let the man be ignorant. Do not fuss and fight over these issues. Verse 39 says, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with other tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order." Did you know that's a commandment of the Lord? These are the commandments of the Lord. Covet, desire to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with other tongues. However, let everything be done decently and in order. That's a commandment of the Lord. I actually heard somebody preaching one time, and they said that the Lord commanded that we were to stop speaking in other tongues so everything could be done decently and in order. Man, that's a little off base. No, he said, do not forbid the people to speak with tongues, but make sure that things are done decently and in order. Because all these gifts in the Bible are the power of God. They're manifestations of God to bring people into the things of God. And if we abuse them, if we misuse them, if we have a circus and confusion, we literally take something precious of God that's supposed to help people and bring people deeper into a walk with God, and we push people away from God. That's why, and I don't have time to teach this right now, but I think we're far enough along in God where Paul talked about, I show you a more excellent way, and he talks about love. And some people have thought the more excellent way is get away from the gifts and just walk in love. No, the more excellent way that Paul was talking about is that these things are supposed to operate in love. They can operate without love and hurt people. Amen. They can operate without love and push people away. I've seen people operate in a genuine gift of God, but they were in the flesh and they hurt people with it. And they were prideful with it. And the more excellent way is these things aren't used to hurt and confuse people. They're supposed to be to help people and to bring wisdom to people. Amen. So we have to do things decently and in order. Yeah. I want a balance of both. I don't want to come along and say and shut everything down so we can be decent and in order and dead. Nor do we need to have a circus where we're all confused and we're hurting and harming people. Right. Amen? Yeah. Now, one of the things that he said right there is to covet, verse 39, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues, but let all things be done decently in order. This 14th chapter is Paul balancing out, speaking with tongues and what the purpose is, and put it in its proper place and forum, and to make sure everyone understands at church and in the public assembly that the coveting we should be doing is to prophesy, which is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the known tongue. We all should want to speak in the known tongue under God's inspiration to edify, comfort, and encourage people, because the public assembly is to serve one another and edify one another. And you'll see as we walk through what the purpose of tongues is for, in the public assembly, it doesn't operate and reach its purpose like prophecy does. Prophecy publicly is what we're looking for, where we're all on the same page and we understand each other and we're edifying one another. Tongues is more private and personable and edifies yourself. And I'll show you that as we go through this. And so when we come together corporately, especially if we're speaking in other tongues and it's out of order, new people, unbelievers, baby Christians won't get edified. They'll actually get confused and disturbed. And to avoid that, there's where the order comes in, where they can come on into the things of God and not be afraid of the things of God. So let's run through this quickly. I'm going to give you eight reasons for tongues. Eight facts about tongues. The purpose of tongues. What happens when someone speaks in another tongue? All right, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity or God's kind of love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Isn't that, that's challenging. I'm sorry, I didn't want to stop. But the Bible says we should desire these gifts. Yes. It's amazing to me when people turn against tongues that they also quit even pursuing any spiritual gifts. And the Bible says, this is the, remember Paul says, any man that's spiritual or thinks himself to be a prophet, these are the commandments of the Lord. God has commanded us to follow after, pursue, seek after spiritual things. Is it quiet because you're wondering who scored? Or are y'all with me? Now, I'm glad you made it in body, but is everybody here in heart? Y'all are quiet tonight. Amen. The quietness literally disarmed me. Now we're going to try this again. Paul commanded, said these were the commandments of the Lord. And the first one in that same chapter is to follow after, pursue, hunger for spiritual gifts. Amen. Get TiVo, saints. That'll hit the rest of you later. Let it go. All right. In your pursuit of spiritual things, let's face it, not everybody even coming to church is hungry for spiritual things. We should be hungry for spiritual things. I ought to say, I'm going to talk about the gifts, I'm going to talk about tongues, I'm going to talk about prophesying, and there ought to be shouting instead of nervousness or, uh-oh, where's this going to go? We should be pursuing these things. Verse 2 says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So number one fact, it's just a fact. When someone speaks in tongues, they're not talking to man, they're talking to God. That's why my standard answer is when somebody goes, I just don't understand what they're saying. That sounds like baby talk. Doesn't make a bit of sense to me. Good, they ain't talking to you anyway. They're talking to God. See, there's where our carnal mind jumps in. Well, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand what they're saying. I don't know what's going on. Man, the Bible's so good, it answers all these questions. You don't have to know. You're not supposed to know. They're not talking to men. If you were to speak in an unknown tongue, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. Number two fact, you're speaking mysteries. A mystery is a divine secret hidden in God. You're speaking the mysteries of the kingdom. That is a fact. That is what was said. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, everybody say in the Spirit,
in the Spirit.
He speaketh mysteries. You're speaking mysteries, divine secrets. I'll explain what those are with the Bible, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Verse 3 says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So see, he's balancing out already that, look, when you speak in tongues, you're not talking to men, you're talking to God. You're speaking mysteries. But when we prophesy, which is a divine inspiration uttered in the known tongue, then we build people up. Because now we're not talking to God, we're talking to man. And what good would it do for y'all to come to church tonight and me just stand up here and talk in tongues? I wouldn't be talking to you, I'd be talking to God. But if I can preach and prophesy and teach with an anointing, and within my teaching and my preaching there be some prophecy, an element of inspired truth under that inspiration that you understand in your known tongue, it'll build you up, it'll edify you, it'll help you. So Paul says, look, he's not knocking tongues. He's saying, look, when you speak in tongues, you're not talking to people, you're talking to God. You're speaking mysteries, but no man understands you. That's why he goes on in this chapter, in case we don't get there. He said, when I come to church, I'd rather speak five words in the known tongue than thousands of words in an unknown tongue. Because we don't get anything done if we just speak in tongues. As far as why we're having church, it's not the purpose of tongues. All right. Verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Fact number 3, when one speaks in an unknown tongue, what's the purpose? To edify yourself. God says something spiritual, says something about something spiritual that is this: when you speak, or if you spoke, or when they spoke, you fall in one of those three. They built themselves up. They edified themselves. Now, just in case you're so quiet that I get disarmed and I forget to say it, I'm going to say it right now. One of the arguments years ago I heard was, how selfish. How selfish are people anyway in the first place? That doesn't sound like God, to edify yourself, to build yourself up. We ought to seek to edify the church, is what the Bible says. We ought to come together to edify one another. Well, you know, the heart of what they're saying is true, but let me ask you a simple question. Have you ever been edified by someone who's not edified? You can't edify people if you're not edified. You can't build anybody else up if you're down. You can't bless people if you're not blessed. You can't give if you ain't got. So the purpose of edifying myself isn't a selfish end. I need edified. So when I get up here, I say something edifying to you. Amen. I need built up, not for self-exaltation, but I need built up so that when I get up here, I'm going to build you up and lift you up. Amen? I need encouraged by God so I can be an encourager. I need blessed so I can be a blessing. Amen. So the end is the edification of the church. The end is the edification of others. But I've never seen a poor man help anybody yet. But rich people have the means to help the poor. I've never seen a man depressed encourage anybody else yet. But people that are encouraged are encouragers. So I'm still talking about the purpose of tongues. Why tongues? For personal edification. We all, no matter how much of the word we read, how much we come to church, we're in a fallen world and the opportunity to get depressed is all around us. God gave us a supernatural means to edify ourselves if we would operate in it and walk in the light of it. Go down to, just for the sake of time, because we're just looking at what the word says here about why tongues, the purpose of tongues. Look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 14, 13. He says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Fact number 4. If one speaks in an unknown tongue, when someone speaks in an unknown tongue, it says your spirit is praying. Your spirit is praying. That's why your mind is unfruitful. When you speak in a known tongue, your native language, that comes out of your soul, your mind. If you speak in an unknown tongue, the Bible says something spiritual, comparing something and with something spiritual, tongues, tells us that our spirit is praying. Your born again spirit speaks and prays, can pray, can speak. That's powerful. Just think if you didn't have any negative residue about tongues in your heart. Just think if you'd have never heard anything negative, you'd have never been in a religious circle that downed what God says to forbid not, how that would begin to make some sense to a mind that is yielded to God, that first of all, there are people that get born again, live in church their whole life, and really don't know they're a spirit being. That they have a spirit, and that your spirit is real, and that your spirit speaks. And when you pray in other tongues, when you speak in other tongues, your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit, your born-again, perfect spirit is praying. Amen. About like what one guy said, he didn't like what I was teaching, but he was a nice guy. He might have been saved even because he was kind. He said, you know, I don't believe in any of that, but it sure sounds good. I like that. I don't believe in any of that. He was taught it was of the devil. So I don't believe in any of that, but boy, that sounds good. What if my born-again spirit could talk to God and pray? There's got to be a benefit to that. There would have to be something pretty powerful that could happen. Because again, one of the things that happens to people who get filled with the Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues, for them in an experiential way, is the first time they really see there is a part of me that's beyond my body. There is a part of me that's beyond my mind. It's my spirit. And that spirit begins to express itself in praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. I just like that one so much. Let's read it again, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I like what one guy said. Well, if our understanding is unfruitful, again, what's the use? What's the reason? He just missed the whole, I just gave you four already. You know, a lot of people go to the Bible with a bias. Did you know it? You didn't know that. A lot of people go to the Bible, they already have a bias. So they see things that ain't there, and they can't see what's right there. It's sort of like the 6 o'clock news. They have a bias. They don't see what's really reality, and they bring a skewed from their prism, a false reality, in the name of news. Because they go into all their stories with this bent bias, they can't hide it. It's the same thing with this. That right there just said that our understanding is unfruitful, but I read to you the verses before. You're not supposed to remain unfruitful. You're supposed to pray that you interpret. That your mind does become fruitful of whatever you're talking about from your spirit to God. Just nod your head, act spiritual. It's not hard. Verse 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will pray with the Spirit. That's praying in other tongues. I will pray with my understanding also. That's praying in English for me. Are you with me? I will pray with the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? What happens when you do that? Your spirit's praying. Well, what is it talking about? Mysteries. Divine secrets hidden in God. Well, nobody understands it around me. I know. You're talking to God, not men. Are you with me? Yes. I will pray with the understanding. I will pray with spirit. Then he goes on to say, I will sing with the Spirit. What's that? Singing in other tongues. And I will sing with the understanding also. That's for us singing in English. At least a while longer here in Texas. Oh, come on. You know I meant well. Verse 16 says, watch this. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what you say? Notice he said in verse 15 that when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm singing in the Spirit, I'm blessing with the Spirit, but the guy that's unlearned, the guy that doesn't understand what's going on and his mind's unfruitful, how is he going to say amen at my giving of thanks? I mean, for the lightning fast minds among us, when you pray in the Spirit, number six, you're blessing God. Number seven, you're giving thanks. Your spirit is giving God thanks. But you better say some things in English, or the guy who don't know nothing about tongues and thinks you're a barbarian and mad can't say, amen. So I'm going to pray in the Spirit, but then I'm going to say it in English too, that Father, thank you for this. So the guy next to me who doesn't know nothing about tongues, doesn't know what is even happening, can go, amen. But you're supposed to catch the purpose of tongues. You're supposed to pick up on when you speak with other tongues, you're blessing God. Your spirit is blessing God. Don't we bless God in a known tongue? How do we do that? We say thank you. We sing songs. We from our limited understanding of the kingdom, offer thanks. Your spirit has no limited understanding of the kingdom. Your born-again spirit is in the kingdom. And when you speak in other tongues, you're blessing God and you're giving Him thanks. And oh, do I love verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other's not edified. You're not only thanking God, you're doing a good job of it. You do it well. Amen. Wow. Number one, purpose of tongues. Why tongues? What happens when a person speaks in tongues? The Bible says they're not speaking to men, they're speaking to God. Number two, what are they saying? They're speaking mysteries, divine secrets hidden in God. Not mysteries hidden from God, but mysteries hidden from our minds. Can we be humble enough to admit here tonight that we don't understand everything in our head concerning the mysteries of the kingdom? I can, but my spirit, I'm going to show you right here in a minute, has the very wisdom and hidden treasures of God in it. And when a person speaks with other tongues, they're speaking those mysteries. I'm going to show you right out of Acts chapter 2, how that they're speaking mysteries concerning the hidden mysteries of the kingdom that aren't hidden from your spirit. They're in your spirit. Number three, it says in verse 4 that we edify ourselves, we build ourselves up when we pray in the Spirit. Something supernatural and spiritual happens when you speak with other tongues. It's not natural. It's supernatural. I can't totally explain it, but I can compare spiritual things with spiritual things and bring truth and wisdom of what's happening. Even if I fully don't comprehend all of it, I believe it and I'm experiencing it every day of my life. That you build yourself up. There are things, I don't know if you've ever done this. I bet you if you'll think for a minute, I think everybody has. But you can wake up and the kids are fine, the wife's well, bills are paid, life is good. But you feel down. You feel oppressed. You feel grieved on the inside. We live in a very dark world, dear ones. And there is a warfare raging in the spirit world that none of us comprehend, that tend to oppress us and grieve us. The ungodliness all around us. The lying. On and on it goes with the pain, the death, deprivation. Hideous, ungodly, heinous stuff that's all around me. Any other? Help me out here. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Your spirit senses those things. Okay, that you're not sure of that, some of you. Your spirit can sense things that your mind doesn't understand. I've been around people and just known things supernaturally. Now, don't get nervous. I hate telling this stuff. You know, people just don't listen. They get nervous. I'll say something like that. Now they're nervous around me all the time. Like, do you have something to hide? So don't get nervous. But I'm just saying I can sense things that I don't understand always with my mind. I have been 100% right. I've had meetings. I have never missed it on this. I've had meetings with elders. I've had meetings with staff. And I've come in and said, I don't know what's wrong, but something is wrong. We need to get before God. Something's up. I can't put my finger on it. My favorite saying, it's like taking a shower with my socks on. Something's wrong. And I don't understand it in my brain, but I sense it in my spirit. And buddy, every matter of fact, it startles me now when I have that sense. I'll go to Sue and I'll say, I don't know what's up, but we need to get before God and get ready. It's almost like I know it's coming before it happens. That's not my mind. That's my spirit. And my point was, there are times that I get grieved in my spirit and everything's fine in my life. Everything's fine in the ministry. It's the world. It's the darkness of this world crashing in on us. Thank God, God gave us something spiritual to build ourselves up, to break out of that spiritual oppression. That's why tongues, that's the purpose of tongues right here out of the Bible, is to edify yourself. Don't get so caught up on that you forget to prophesy, which means encourage people in your known tongue. But don't throw the baby out with the water. Number four is in verse 14, your spirit prays. That's what God says. It doesn't sound like a spirit praying. Sounds like baby talk. Sounds like gibberish. Sounds like something ridiculous. But who can explain how a spirit would sound that's talking to God? I'm not trying to be too common and just basic thinking, but how do we know what language is in heaven when we get to heaven? How do you know how you're going to sound in heaven? Think about the thousands of languages, men and women that have died and gone home to be with the Lord. And do you think for 1 minute we're just going to speak English in heaven and everybody in heaven is going to understand us? Speaking English? How do you know what we're going to sound like in heaven? Nobody does, is the point. And if you think everybody's going to be retaught English, you're a screwball. Nobody in your Bible spoke English. Everybody we talk about and read after does not speak English. Come on. So who are you? Who is this group to tell me that don't sound right? Well, tell me what's right. Tell me what a spirit praying, blessing God, and giving thanks would sound like. See, we're not so bright after all. So he says in verse 14, our spirit prays. Verse 15 says that we pray with the Spirit, we sing with the Spirit. That's number five. Number six, verse 16 says we bless with the Spirit. We're blessing God when we pray in other tongues with the Spirit. Not with our mind, not with our understanding that's limited, but with our spirit. Amen. Number seven in verse 16 is we're giving God thanks. And then number eight, we're thanking Him well. Yes. Now turn to Acts chapter 2 and let me show you something. Acts chapter 2. Paul says, when we pray in tongues, or if you prayed in tongues, or we know for sure when they prayed with tongues, their spirit was praying. They weren't talking to men, they were talking to God. And what were they talking? Mysteries. Mysteries. Now I'm gonna say this. I'm not being contentious. One of the things I heard that at least intrigued me as I researched this for years, and I'm open. I want to always be open. So I'm asking the question, why tongues? What's the purpose of tongues? And I was told, well, the reason it was for the first century church and they spoke in tongues, now listen to this, they said that was to preach the gospel to all these different languages and tongues and tribes to get the gospel out, and that the apostles and the early church would go into towns and cities where they didn't know the known tongue and they would preach in other tongues and to get people saved. Now we don't need that. Here's their logic. Now we don't need that. We got colleges. That's debatable. Now at first it could make a little sense that, well, maybe it was a supernatural gift to preach to people who didn't know your tongue. But I just read to you then Paul didn't know that because he says, when a man speaks in tongues, he doesn't speak to men. He speaks to who? You ain't going to get nobody saved talking to God. You get people saved representing what God said to them. Amen. And I'm going to show you nobody got saved through them speaking with other tongues, because that's not the purpose of tongues, is to preach. And you talk about faith. I thought I had a lot of faith. These people must have some faith I don't understand to believe that there was a century a first century church that could just go into any town and just supernaturally stand there and not have any idea what they're saying in the known tongue of those people and get them all saved. That takes a lot of faith. I don't have that kind of faith because my faith is rooted in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and there's nothing in the Word of God that testifies to that. Matter of fact, the Word of God testifies of the opposite. On the day of Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 11 that the people that overheard them speaking in tongues, the 120 were in the upper room, they were sitting down. Look at this, verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, clear your mind for a minute. We have a testimony of something spiritual, trying to compare it with something spiritual, speaking with tongues. And something spiritual says about the spiritual act of speaking in other tongues that they heard them speak of the wonderful works of God. They didn't know what they were saying. The people speaking with other tongues had no idea what they were saying. Their mind was unfruitful. But the people that heard them in their known tongue, unknown to the speaker, known to the hearer, heard them speaking these mysteries. The wonderful works of God. It sounds like baby talk to me. Sounds like the wonderful works of God to God. You want to compare carnal things with spiritual things? Go ahead. I'm going to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. A spiritual book says that the people who spoke with tongues were saying and talking about the wonderful works of God. Now look at this. He goes on to say, in verse 12, and they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. It didn't get anybody saved. It caused them to start mocking. And it says they doubted. So bless Peter's heart. So far, he ain't preaching very good in an unknown tongue. Are you ready for the nuclear bomb? Look at the next verse. The next verse says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, underline, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, you men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words, not an unknown tongue, my words, my voice. You just heard me speaking in an unknown tongue, the wonderful works of God, and you're doubting and you're mocking. Now I'm going to talk to you in my known tongue. You are the dudes that killed him. And you better get right with God. And 3,000 people got saved. Nothing happened till he spoke and lifted up his voice. He was sitting down, according to Paul, praying in the Spirit. He was sitting down, blessing God and giving thanks and speaking mysteries. And he wasn't talking to men. He's talking to God. They overheard the conversation and got confused and full of doubt. Then he stood up and with his voice, lifted up his voice. And he wasn't talking to God when all of them got saved. He was talking to them. Man, I'm good. Man, I'm good. Are you getting it? We'll spend hours and keep nuking all these carnal opinions of men right with the Word of God. The Word of God says they were sitting down. Why? Tongues is for personal edification. They were sitting down, speaking in an unknown tongue. They weren't talking to men so they could keep sitting down and speaking in tongues. Because when a man speaks in tongues, he's not speaking to God. To men, he's speaking to God. Howbeit, though, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What are those mysteries? The wonderful works of God. Amen. Your spirit knows the wonderful works of God when your mind is confused. Amen. Your spirit knows what truth is when your head doesn't. Thank God we can still operate out of the mind to a measure, but thank God we can operate out of our spirit. Amen. He lifted up his voice. Go to Jude. That's that little book just before Revelation. It's only one chapter. So we're going to look at Jude chapter 1. Amen. Verse 17. Jude verse 17. The Bible is a spiritual thing. It's the mind of Christ. If you want to renew your mind to the mind of Christ, which is already in your spirit, you're going to have to accept what God's Word says about something, not what everybody else says. Hallelujah. Jude, now watch this, verse 17. This is so good right here. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, whose words are we to remember? The words of the apostles. Isn't it amazing how people can tell you the word of everybody else but what the apostles said? Isn't that sad? I can't tell you. People have been in church 50 years. And they can tell you what the footnotes in the Bible says. They can tell you what their group says. They can tell you what mom taught them. They can tell you what dad said. They can tell you what this preacher said, that preacher said. But they can't tell you what did the apostles say. And Jude says, well, you better remember what the apostles said to us. Because there's going to be some dark days come. Verse 18 says, remember what the apostles said of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Notice when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we build ourselves up. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies. Everybody say edify. Edifies himself. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. We're to seek to prophesy so we can be an encouragement to everybody. But when we do speak with tongues, we edify ourselves. Listen at the Amplified Bible of verse 4. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. Does anyone want to be improved? Amen. There's people that think Lee hung the moon. Lee Armstrong, the associate pastor. And they want Lee all the time. They want to steal Lee from me. And I always look him right in the eye and say, he's the broke-in model. The Lee they see today ain't the Lee I inherited. He's the improved model. The Dwayne you see today wasn't the Dwayne 30 years ago. I'm an improved model. And 10 years from now, I hope that I would be so improved that you would want that Dwayne instead of this Dwayne. I'm talking about what's the purpose of tongue. God said he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies and improves himself. Yeah, but here's what so-and-so said. So? God said I would improve myself if I spoke with other tongues. Listen at the Amplified Bible of Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Everybody say, make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. Wow. The Scriptures teach something spiritual, about something spiritual, speaking with other tongues, because speaking with other tongues is not natural. It's spiritual. It's supernatural. So I got to have something spiritual to compare with something spiritual so I can find truth. God's word and what he has to say about it is profound. It is powerful. It is important. Do you have to speak with other tongues? Of course not. Do you have to speak with other tongues to go to heaven? Of course not. Should anybody make you speak with other tongues? Of course not. Should we look down upon you if you don't or won't speak with tongues? Of course not. I think it's an insult for me to have to deal with all of this foolishness, and yet it runs rampant in the church and between denominations. Small wars are fought over what I'm teaching. That's wrong. All I can tell you is if you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak with other tongues, something very spiritual, if you'll compare it with something spiritual and then walk in the light of it by faith, Jude said, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. It takes faith to pray in tongues. It takes faith. And so every time you pray in tongues, you're exercising holy faith. Because it's not natural, it's supernatural. And I'll quit with this. And when the mushroom cloud fades, when we come out of our caves, when it's radioactive friendly, the bottom line of what I'm endeavoring to say, to share, to impart, to help people by the millions. Because this tape and this broadcast will help more people than we'll ever pack into this into this building because there's so many people wanting these answers but don't know where to go. They're intimidated. They're scared. They're confused. And it's just helping untold millions of people. All I can tell you is this. It even makes Oklahoma and I believe in Texas sense. That if the tongue, James, the brother of Jesus, said your tongue is an unruly evil and that it sets on fire hell. But if you can harness your tongue, if you can bring your tongue under subjection to God, then you can harness your whole body. And James warned us and said, oh, everybody's going to say, oh, this is just a little thing. It's insignificant. It don't matter. But it's just a little helm that controls that big old ship. And it's just a little bit in a horse's mouth that pulls him to the right and pulls him to the left. It just makes Oklahoma sense to me that if the tongue is that powerful, no wonder the devil would want your tongue. And no wonder the first thing God wants to take over in your life is your tongue. Amen. Is your tongue. And if I can yield my tongue to God, I can bring my whole members, all my body. What's the most important member that I need to give to God, Dwayne? How about my hands? Oh, that's commendable. Give your hands to the Lord and don't touch that which is unclean. Don't steal no more, but work. What about my feet? Yes, your feet are important. Give them to God. That's wonderful that you would walk in the ways of the Lord and not the ways of the world. What about my eyes? Oh, yes, quit looking at things that lead to lustful behavior and bondage in your life and keep your eyes on the Lord. What about my mind? That'd be the most important thing, don't you think, Brother Dwayne? Give the Lord my mind to get my mind renewed. Oh, very important. You can't be transformed if you don't do that. But let's cut to the chase. Give him your tongue and yield your tongue over to God and you'll be able to harness your whole body by the power of God. No wonder the devil hates tongues. That's why 2,000 years later, it's still a controversial issue, is because Satan hates it above all things. I just submit this to your discernment, to your judgment, hopefully to your prayerful consideration and study. Go back and look over what I've shared and let the Holy Spirit illuminate you. Let Him help you with this. And I'm going to keep praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to receive all God's good gifts in your life. Amen. Amen. Were you blessed? Amen. Thank you. Let's stand. Let me pray for you.